Dr. Neal. And she says, my dad just died. On the phone, I said, Sandy, I don't know if I can talk. And then Pastor informed me today that, just go ahead and say what they told you about.
At 4:30, when they removed all the life support from Dr. Neal, as he passed on. And he's dancing with Jesus. And that was the message.
Thank you. I am so grateful for the prayers of the saints, especially when you've known a man for 25 years. Natalie and Rachel recall that when I was over at Christian Heritage, Dr. Neal was hungry for the things of God, very hungry. And I started a class there at Christian Heritage for those that wanted to move into ministry. And I remember Dr. Neal, he was the first one in class, sat in the front row, bold as a lion. And there, he began to absorb the gospel of the kingdom. As I was able to teach him about the tabernacles, things that we take for granted here. And for close to a year, I was able to train him. And for some of us old timers, such as Pastor, and of course Michelle Brewer, and I don't think Megan would remember, I was too busy shooing her out of the service because she made so much noise. I just remember that the only thing he could do at Christian Heritage is speak in tongues, and nobody would interpret. And I looked around and I was surprised. And I began to interpret. The next thing I knew, I was a prophet in the church. All I wanted to do was teach the Word of God. But I saw Dr. Neal begin, after we started these ministerial classes, begin to prophesy, begin to interpret. And it got to a point where people said, is there any more teaching that you can do just in the time that you teach the ministry? And for some of us, we remember our Dr. Aaron with his orange hair and Alyssa with her bare feet and them two hanging on each other. That we saw that the Neals opened their little house in the back, and there people started coming to hear the gospel of the kingdom, the tabernacles, and things that we all have taken for granted because we've had it so long. And then when Dr. Aaron prophesied tonight, he jolted me because it has a lot to do with what I want to share in these few moments. When I think of Dr. Neal, I think of the first time he gave his sermon. And for many of you, we never had any problem with sleep after hearing his first sermon. He could put you to sleep. But what a change 25 years make. What a change God can do in a person's life. So, Dr. Neal and I have been brothers. At first we were friends. I was his teacher, his mentor. But he came into his own, just like Dr. Aaron did. And he eventually got his Master of Divinity with Reverend Charlotte. And he struggled with that year of Hebrew he had to take. Subsequently, Rachel, with her Master of Divinity, soon to be Dr. Rachel after I get her out of the arm lock, Dr. Aaron. So it's appropriate that with sadness, the only thing that happened is that Bill came, became not only a dear friend, but he became a brother. You know what they say brothers are. They're born for adversity. And if you've ever been in our senior ministry meetings, Bill and I didn't always see eye to eye on things. But we did see eye to eye on something. We both loved Jesus. And we never carried an offense. And he was always ready to forgive, ready to embrace, always ready to love. And Pastor began to take off her, well, she still has it on at times, her referee's outfit, you know, with the stripes and everything, keeping the combatants far away. But what I'm going to teach you tonight, I want to talk about the ministry of the Word of the Lord on discouragement. Many of us tonight are fighting discouragement and sadness. Do you realize that discouragement and sadness run together? Run together. And if you would allow me, I would like you to go to Luke 24. Poor Aaron has heard semi-parts of this from me for, what, 20 years?
About that.
But Luke 24, I just want to cover a couple verses. This is the situation where Jesus died. Luke 24, the Gospel of St. Luke. We find it written in verse 15 that there was two men. And behold, two of them called, okay, and I'll start at verse 15. I'll start at 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 3 furlongs, or 7 miles. And they walked together of all, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, and they could not recognize him. Sonship, listen. In our sadness, in our heartache, let's remember that Jesus is with us even though our eyes are holden. And it says that, and it came to pass that while they communed further and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near, and with them they were, their eyes were holden. And Jesus said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Thou only hast strangers in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days. Almost chiding Jesus. Don't you know what's going on? Don't you watch the news? Don't you listen? And he said unto them, and I always enjoyed this, what things? What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. In verse 21, could you read it all with me in the King James if you have it? I'll even allow Dr. Aaron to use the New World Translation. I'm just kidding.
No.
The New American Standard, okay? Kenny, NIV. Nah, that's a... I'm sorry.
That's 24, 21, you want us to read?
I want you to read what they said to Jesus in verse 24. In verse 20.
What?
It says that... where am I?
19, what things?
Yeah. In 19, read it with me. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And then verse 21 is what I want you to read clearly. But we hoped that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. We hoped. Clopas and his partner hoped that this Jesus was the Messiah. They had hoped that he was the deliverer of Israel. And then they hear women talking that he rose from the grave. They didn't buy it if you read on. But the third thing that I want you to know, they were sad. They felt betrayed. They felt that the religious leaders that they leaned upon for the things of God stabbed them in the back. Destroyed the Messiah. Do you think these guys were discouraged? So much so that if you read the disciples and the apostles, they were in the upper room and they were oy vey beside themselves. They were sad. And yes, resentful. And more importantly, they were discouraged. And I want to talk to you something very, very important. In Exodus 32, if you'd go there in your Bibles, just for a moment. Exodus 32. Please allow me to be a little flustered because it's been an interesting day to say the least. But in Exodus 32, we find it written that these people, these Israelites, were so discouraged. In verse 1 of chapter 32, and the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount. And the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto them, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. Can you imagine the people? They're waiting for Moses and Moses doesn't come down. 40 days. Can you imagine what the children of Israel saw? The 10 plagues, the Red Sea opening. And just in a short period of time, they said, aw, heck with it. Aw, forget it. Make us other gods. We'll find our own God. Why? Because they were leaning to their own understanding and the way things ought to be. Sonship. We have to be careful that we're not leaning to our own understanding. Because God is God. He will do what he chooses to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and the way he wants to do it. So we see the children of Israel, just like you and I today. Why, Lord? We just started RV Ministries. We have a man and woman of God that are gifted, and yet you chose to take him. I'm fighting discouragement. Is that okay? I'm fighting heartache. I'm trying to put on a happy face. My face is happy on the outside, but my heart, Pastor, is breaking on the inside.
That's true of all of us.
And the Bible teaches us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. On the road to Emmaus, they walked according to their own understanding of things. And they didn't see the big picture. Tonight, with the prophetic that Dr. Aaron had, falls right in line with this. Are we going to be as those disciples that were walking away from Jerusalem to go to Emmaus, being discouraged and sad and upset, feeling betrayed? Are we going to be that way? Or Do we choose to walk by faith and not by sight? Now, I choose to walk by faith. I choose to walk by faith. Faith is a thing. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things we don't see. But he says, we are pleased, God's pleased, if we walk by faith and not by our own understanding. Because we're not going to figure out this God of the universe that coheres the universe in the span of his hand, where our closest star, being the sun, is only 93 billion miles away, or 8.5 minutes by light to travel. And our closest star is Alpha Centauri, which is 4.5 light years away. And that's the first one. Look at the night sky. Look at the way everything is made. The cohesive unit. God knew many years ago, over 60 years ago, that Bill and Charlotte would marry, have a family, and that he would be part of the ministry. God knew. God has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And you and I have to live by faith and know that in us, God has delivered us. How do we know it? By our understanding? No. By our faith. That's how we know. Faith is a substance. Faith is a substance. And I would like to take this last set of scripture for you, and I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 13. You say, oh no, Dr. Tellers. We all memorized it. Well, true. You know you can memorize something by rote and not understand it? And not understand it?
Yes.
And not understand it? And we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love, and we find it written. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, I'm just going to read a couple quick verses. But these verses have a powerful impact tonight for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says in verse 12, talking about love, for now we see in a mirror, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And I want you to read verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let me tell you what the Lord spoke to me this morning. Can I? Well, I am. I want to write this out so that everybody understands. God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. For Colossians 1, 26 and 27, it also speaks of the fact that says that we have faith, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we find faith. Hope. And love. If you read the scriptures carefully, you'll find that faith operates with a foundation of love. Faith is something we build. How do we build our faith? The Word of God, speaking in tongues. These are the ways we build our faith. And this faith is so powerful that it can move mountains. This faith can raise the dead. But there's another thing that you need to see. And I would like to bring you in to a little medicine, which I only know how to take cough drops, so to speak. But faith is the substance. But what we are trying to do and believing God to do is to bring us to love. Isn't that true?
Yes.
We know what DNA is, don't we? Can I flash you with the word DNA? Deoxyribose nucleic acid. But we also have hope, which is RNA. Who can tell me what that stands for? Yes, ribose nucleic acid. And this faith moves through hope into love, the manifestation of the cross and the resurrection. Look at carefully. How do we get faith to move into love? It comes by ribose nucleic acid, or RNA, which is the messenger of our DNA that forms the body. How do we move into love? We need the messenger, and that messenger has got to be hope. Hope is the RNA. It is the vehicle that God uses, just as Dr. Aaron pointed out tonight. Hey, a Holy Spirit moved upon the people. And the worst thing that could happen to us is to lose hope. To lose hope. We lose hope, just like the children of Israel did. When Moses didn't come down, or the children that were going to Emmaus, they were lost hope. The disciples up in the upper room lost hope. The message that Jesus brought to this earth was that he so loved the world. What is the messenger of faith? It's hope. You know why I love Pastor Suzanne? Not only because the Bible forces me to. The reason I love her so much, she always hopes and believes for the best. That's a gift. That's a gift. We don't talk about hope enough. Hope is the vehicle that brings our faith to its ultimate conclusion. The greatest of these, say it with me, is
love.
Hope is essential. I don't want to bring up any more sadness, but I must. I remember as Alyssa and Dr. Aaron lost their babies. They still call them by name. They were down. I don't know if they even came to losing any hope at all. But they persisted. Now they got two little rug rats that drives them nuts. They deserve what they prayed for. And it's interesting that they named them Samuel and Nathan, the prophets of God. You see, their hope was dashed. It was dashed. And there has been a place in every one of our lives where we came to a place of hopelessness where we just threw up our hands and say, okay, God, I've had enough. You've dropped the ball, you failed me, and I just decide not to believe in you anymore. We've been there. All of us have. Listen, if I can cry on your shoulder a moment. At the age of 6, I wanted to be a Roman Catholic priest. I studied, learned the Latin to the Mass at a really early age. And at a very young age, 12, 13, I entered the seminary to become a priest unto God, a bishop, and pope. Just teasing on the pope part. And I studied, and I studied. They had us learn Latin, Greek, Spanish, courses in Chinese, courses in German, and all these things. And we spent our daily lives in the chapel praying and seeking God. And the only prayer I'd say, oh God, make me a priest. I want to be a priest unto you. And the Lord, after being in the seminary for a number of years, the prefect and the bishop says, you know, that Kurt is an excellent student. He tries hard, he keeps the law. But we just don't see the priesthood in him. And they told me that I had to leave the seminary. And my whole young life was dashed. It was dashed. That isn't what I had planned. That isn't what I had prayed for. But it was dashed. And so I said, what am I going to do with all this education? All the training that I've gone through. Well, I went crazy. I was the smartest drug pusher in town. I always excelled at everything I did, everything that was evil. I was a musician. I played the honky-tonks, the bars. I went to college. I went into the first college class, and the teacher got up there and started talking stuff, and I laughed out loud. I says, are you kidding me? Because I had been trained or educated beyond that which they were teaching in the college. It was trivia. So I sailed through. And then all of a sudden, with all hope dashed, I went into the occults and occults. Astral projection and all that malarkey, which is real, by the way. And then one day, as I was in the real estate business, making a fortune, I might add, not like the Trumpster, but I made a lot of money, more money than I knew how to spend. I was good at it. And all of a sudden, I met this woman. Sharon, why are you shaking your head? And it says, wow. And it was her and the gentleness of her spirit that again returned me to a living faith and hope in Jesus. And it's because of her that I'm here today. I'm a follower and a disciple of Jesus.
You're also a priest.
Yes, I am. I know that each of you, Brother Kelly, I know that Justin, who was on the verge of suicide, I know that Rachel wanted to strangle everybody. And many of you are in the battle of your life with relationships or jobs or whatever it may be. We are there. We have to deal with our sadness. We have to deal with resentment. And tragically enough, we have to deal with our discouragement. You see, when I gave up hope, Jesus didn't. He still put his hand on me. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Dr. Neal has a story of his own. And if I went to each one of you, I could go to Rachel, but that would be up to her. I will not violate confidences. But I would say the same to Megan, especially Michelle, and Pastor Justin, all of you. There's times in your life where you are discouraged. No hope! But this is what my message is tonight. That God has given us faith, a measure of faith, hope to carry our faith through the discouragement, to bring us into hope. I was ready to go with a longer message. I ask you to forgive me. I can't. But Dr. Neal meant a lot to me as a man of God, as a preacher of righteousness, and to lose him, my heart breaks. But Dr. Neal, I know we'll have a memorial service or something, but we're kind of intimate here, and poor Brandon, this guy is sharp. He's sharp as a whip. I had to bring my Bible tonight because he's challenged me in certain scriptures. So I said, well, ask Aaron. But I want you, what did Dr. Neal and how can we comfort one another mean in your life? Does anybody want to say something? Pastor, of course, please.
I do want to say The message I got this afternoon.
Could you take your mask off and?
The message I got on the way here was that Dr. Neil passed on and he was dancing with Jesus. And we know that we know that we know that he is. That we're the ones that have lost. And the word says to cry at weddings and laugh at funerals, because there is a joy and heaven is rejoicing. We want him here. And we don't understand this. So many times God has told me, you don't have to understand everything. I just want you to be understanding. I just want you to love. And that love isn't my love. It's his love that works in us. His great grace works love in our hearts. That we can love and move beyond the disappointments. Things that we thought we knew. Just like Dr. Tellers, when he thought that God had not answered his prayers and not allowed him to be a priest. We don't always understand, but we know that God knows best. There are times when it seems like we've lost battles of faith. But God perfects everything.
He does.
We don't know how. Many times we have to look back. I can say that because of my age. I'm 73 years old. I've had 73 years old, years of ups and downs in the Lord, because I've loved the Lord since I was 14, and I've served him in every capacity I knew how. And there have been many disappointments, but I press on to the mark of the high calling. We lose things that we don't understand. But we always know that this is an eternal walk. We are in a very short period of time here on the earth. We press into the mark of the high calling. We press into faith. We cry on the Lord's shoulder. We can sit on his lap and let him comfort us. And that's what we have to do now. We have to trust the Lord and let him comfort us.
Amen. Anybody else would like to say something? Dr.
I think I'll speak for myself, but I'm sure I speak for most everybody here. And, you know, I guess it's been 20, just over 20 years that I've known.
21 years, 5 minutes, and 2 seconds. Go ahead.
It was November of 99 that I started and that I first met Reverend Bill. But the prophetic word that I got a long time ago from Dr. Tellers was that Dr. Neil and Charlotte would be a spiritual father and mother to me for a season. And I can't say that there was ever a time that I can ever remember ever asking Reverend Bill for help and ever having, or asking for his opinion or asking to meet with him, that he ever turned me away. But he ever said, not now, I don't have time. If he didn't have time right then, he always made time. Even when we disagreed on something, there was always love behind whatever disagreement there was, and you could always see it. And that love was the work of Jesus in his life. And like I said this morning, it doesn't matter what happens, because Jesus always wins. You have to maintain an internal perspective.
Yes.
Because without Jesus, we never see Bill again. But with Jesus, we get to worship Jesus forever with Bill in eternity.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say anything?
I think it's interesting you talked about faith tonight, because I know from talking with Bill and Charlotte, these trips they go on, it's all on faith. He just walked it out. He says he'd come to a stop sign and, okay, Lord, am I going right or left? And really, that became his life, and like God lead him where God wanted him to go. They didn't know how long they were going to be someplace until God moved him. So he literally walked out. He knew what that substance was. He was able to experience that and was, I think, a great example for everybody in this body on how he did that.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to say something now?
I'm going to miss his humor. I like his dry humor.
I did too.
It's funny, you don't realize how much you love somebody until they're gone. I know that Bill is not complaining, but this is one thing that the ward will see to, is that Reverend Charlotte is ministered to, period. She is the muscle behind Bill. She was the prayer warrior, and she took the most valuable position in the church. She took care of the finances. She kept us straight and held us to account. And that's important. And when we take communion tonight, we're going to take this for Charlotte. Bill's got his, he's already there. We're going to take it for Charlotte and his family, the Neal family.
I want to bring this up. Charlotte was the one that was in charge of all the prophecies and transcribing them before we got fancy on technology.
Down there.
We have binders filled of prophecies that just are profound and real, you know, touching just the ministry and the time. Also, I'm going to miss his barbecue.
Yes, our tummy will miss that, won't we?
Never did get that chicken recipe.
Yeah. Okay. We'll take communion and we'll take the offering at the same time.